Hey, this is James Arnold Taylor, voice actor, the voice of
Yabba-dabba-doo, Fred Flintstone,
Johnny Test, who's 11 years old and totally awesome,
Ratchet from Ratchet and Clank, Tidus from Final Fantasy X, oh yes, and of course, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It wouldn't be coffee with Kenobi without yours truly. The Force is strong here indeed.
Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
It does show that he has a softer throwing stones into the pond together, or, you know, riding roller coasters like Courtship of Eddie's father or anything like that. But they obviously have some sort of a bond. That was a really, really old reference. Probably half of our audience.
I know.
I was talking about Bill Bixby for everyone. That's right.
This is James Arnold Taylor, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. I have a good feeling about this.
Oh my goodness, do we have a show for you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Coffee with Kenobi, show number 135. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking One Nation coffee out of a coffee mug I got from San Diego Comic-Con. And my goodness, you know the amazing things that happen at Comic-Con. I have not got a chance to share my perspective and experiences with you. And wow, I mean, we've got an amazing show for you today. We've got Amy Radcliffe, who, of course, hosted the Clone Wars panel at San Diego Comic-Con. And we've got Bobby Roberts on as well to share his perspective on what this news means of hashtag Clone Wars saved. Tom's going to be on later to share some other San Diego Comic-Con news, like all of the novels and books that have been announced. And Bobby and I will look much more closely at the Clone Wars, what it means to us, and what we are hoping to see from the revival of this awesome series. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
Being a fan of so many fun things in geekdom like Star Wars and TV and movies and comic books, I'd always been curious about Comic-Con. I've been to lots of different cons, of course, and naturally I've been to Celebration, but never to San Diego Comic-Con. This is, of course, the big one that everyone talks about, where all of the major announcements come. So the time came and everything sort of worked out beautifully, and I thought, I've got to do this. And it was pretty cool because my wife and I parlayed it into a Coffee with Kenobi trip / anniversary trip, because our anniversary was the week of Comic-Con, so that worked out really well too. We got to see some sights together for a couple of days, and it was really, really neat seeing kind of the progression of Comic-Con taking over downtown San Diego, because we were there a couple of days earlier, and every day the hotels around me and the hotel I was staying at, we get more and more advertisements and overlays on them for upcoming TV shows and movies from all different studios. And it was really an amazing thing to kind of experience. The marketing that goes into this stuff, the dollars spent on this, are really staggering. I have no clue what the actual monetary value is, but it's really, really something else. It's like a pop culture study in addition to just being fun. So I made sure to put a number of photos and images and video on Instagram and Twitter. I did a lot more Insta stories this time around, and that was fun showing you live coverage of the show floor as I was walking around and the different displays and booths. I got to go to a Hasbro breakfast and see some of the things that they have coming from the Star Wars line, as well as Transformers and other things. And it was really, really great to talk to the people at Hasbro. I talked to a lot of them over the years electronically, but to see them face-to-face was a really, really neat thing. But it was time to head over for the Clone Wars panel, and that was, of course, the one that I was the most looking forward to. And to be honest, I didn't really know what to expect. I thought I would see a retrospective. I was hoping to hear some sort of news about what happened in these stories that we never got to actually see. And I guess I just sort of subconsciously assumed it would be a novel or some sort of series of stories, but it wouldn't be anything on screen, big or small. And when we were talking to people before we walked in, a lot of insiders had said, well, no, there's going to be no announcements. Now I try to sort of distance myself from that, but sometimes it's hard to avoid it because you're standing in this huge crowded area and everybody is excited about the same thing. So naturally that kind of discussion is going to happen. And it was incredibly fun for me, all of the con, and mostly because of people like Mediocre Jedi and Brian Sims and Matt Appleby and Riley Blanton and Bethany Blanton from the Star Wars Report. It was great to hang out with them and spend some time with them. I went to dinner with the Blantons and a friend of theirs, and we had a marvelous time just catching up. And we talk about Star Wars, we talk about podcasting and give little tips and different ideas, kind of swap stories, if you will, about how we produce our shows. But all this for me is about friendship and the friendships I have with each of you. Whether you've listened to the show or you've engaged online with me or wrote in or sent MP3s or just said hello, I just really appreciate that. And again, it fortifies what this podcast, what this franchise, and what this fandom means to me. And that all was very much celebrated when I was inside the room for the Clone Wars, and I'm going to talk a lot with Bobby and Amy, so I won't say a lot of it right here now, but I will play the audio of when we first realized it's happening, so here it is.
All right, Rex, it's so important that you brought us all the way back here.
Hello, Master. It's been a while.
The atmosphere was as electric as it sounds. Really, really, really something. And I was so glad, honestly, to video that because not only do I want to, again, capture that moment because I know it's something I'm going to look back on fondly, but I wanted you to feel like you were there for that pure joy. And as I will talk later in the show with Bobby Roberts, I have the entire video, which is on our Coffee with Kenobi YouTube page because I wanted to put the entire thing on their Twitter, only let me put a certain section. So I chose to put the very end, which was kind of the exclamation point on the entire thing. So without further ado, let's bring in Bobby Roberts and get ready to have some coffee with Kenobi.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
Joining us today for a cup of coffee is the one and only Bobby Roberts.
Hello. It's been a while. The coffee is still warm, though.
I'm glad. I hope that it is fresh and tasty because we've got some fresh, tasty excitement in the world of Star Wars, of course, which we opened the show with. We're going to talk about the entire show. You can't really throw a rock anywhere without running into Clone Wars Saved. Tell me what you thought when you found out this news.
Vindication. I am self. I am wrong. No, I am right. I swear I'm right. I swear I knew it all along. A lot of people were guessing. A lot of people were guessing that that's what the announcement was going to be. I mean,
is that what you thought? You really thought that was going to be the announcement?
I figured, I mean, it's Comic-Con. I mean, true. The 10th anniversary of the Clone Wars is, you know, that's a big deal. But I don't know if it's Comic-Con panel big deal, especially not Comic-Con panel big deal with Filoni, Lanter, Eckstein. Like, that. As soon as I heard that Filoni, Anakin, and Ahsoka were going to be there, I was like, they did something. Something is being cooked up, and I don't think it's just a sizzle reel. Saying that now, after the shot has already cleared the fence, I mean, you sound like one of those sports fans who's like, I knew he was going to hit that homer. I knew before the pitch was even thrown. I knew it was going to park on the upper deck. Like, you know those guys. Everyone was at the stadium, even though they were just listening at home in their cars. Everyone was at the stadium. Everyone could almost grab the home run as it landed just in front of them.
Everyone was in the theater in 1977. Yeah.
That's probably a better comparison. I don't know why I'm talking about a sports thing. We're talking on a Star Wars podcast. But my first thought was basically we're going to get some episodes. There was always the possibility that it really was just going to be a nice, warm nostalgia bath. Actually, one of the more remarkable things about that, and if you go back and you watch the panel, I know Jason Ward of Making Star Wars actually recorded it. I think that was one of the first videos of it. So you can go and scrub through and actually watch the panel and watch everyone's faces as they react to certain things. Focus in on Amy Ratcliffe and be amazed because she had no idea that announcement coming. She was, I think, one of the only people on the stage who had no idea the announcement was coming. And watch her face. Watch how professional she is, because I don't know if there are too many other people that could have done that job and not just immediately cracked. And she just, like, you can see the emotions darting around behind her eyes, but she is such a pro. She does not melt. She does not flip out like Tom Cruise and Jerry Maguire. Like, she locks it down. Like, and that is really fun to watch. I haven't watched any of the reaction videos. Have you watched any of those?
That's well, we made one because I was in the room too. and so on our Twitter, it like, oh my God, it was by far the most watched thing I've ever posted.
Yeah.
Because I just posted like the last, 45 seconds of the actual video, and then all of us reacting. And if you look closely, you can see me trying to shoot my face. What I do is end up looking up my nose hairs. But because everyone was so excited,
your video was one of the first things, if not the first thing, I saw come out of that panel.
Cool.
I remember sharing it with a couple of friends. I was like, I don't know if they're going to actually release a full trailer, because it looks like, because all you had gotten was that last chunk of it.
Yeah.
I was like, it looks like it's just that. I don't know if they're going to release that as a trailer. And then, of course, I got proved immediately wrong when the trailer drops in full HD.
Well, I recorded the entire video and our reactions. And then I tried to upload it, and Twitter only let me put it in 45 seconds. I'm like, oh, okay. So I put the entire thing on YouTube, but then I put this last 45 seconds. Because one of the things that I think is so cool, and I've talked about this throughout the entire show, or will, as people are listening, I wanted you to feel like the energy and the excitement in that room, because it was palpable and goosebump inducing and just fantastic. And afterwards, when we walked out, you know, everybody's excited and buzzing. And I was talking to Matt Martin right away, and he's like, I'm so glad, I'm so excited. And he was fired up too. Mm-hmm. And I saw Amy. And so I walked up to Amy, because we're buddies too. And you're just like you said, Bobby's totally right on. She was just like seeing stars, because she had no clue. They told her it was a sizzle reel. And later in the show, Coffee with Kenobi family members, you're going to hear from Amy as she talks about her experiences on the panel, which we recorded yesterday. Yeah. And she was just, like you said, Bobby, she was super professional, but so excited and so happy. And you know, like, literally, I mean, Clone Wars is what brought her into fandom anyway, mm-hmm. like fully into fandom. So that talk about an awesome way to reward that. I mean, good for her.
Well, and I want to tell you that your recording did absolutely capture the feel of the room. Like the crowd pop was definitely palpable. I mean, you could feel it through that video. I wanted to ask you real quick, as someone in the room, as the guy who actually captured one of the most visceral reactions to that announcement, when did you know? I believe Tracy Canobio posed this question on Twitter, but I wanted to ask you directly, when did you realize during the panel or even during the trailer itself that you were getting 12 more episodes?
Okay, cool. I actually haven't talked about this on the air yet, so I appreciate you asking. So Dave, you know, was being Dave, and he was fun and he was insightful and he was kind of messing with the panelists. Mm-hmm. And then at the end he says, well, you know, we're at this thing and I feel like, you know, I got to give you a treat. Or a gift. I don't remember which word he says. I posted whatever the exact word that he was. And we'll have full audio of the panel on here as well. But then suddenly he gets really somber and really silent. There's this sort of like my spider sense going off, because I know, being in these panels before with him, the more understated he is, the bigger the news.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's among all his many, many talents, and he has many of them, he is a salesman. Like, he knows how to get the hype train rolling. And so the lights dim. And they you know, you hear Rex talking, you hear dude Bradley Baker talking, and then they're pulling back and you see all these little clone trooper helmets facing each other. And what went through my head, honestly, Bobby, at that time was, oh, cool. They're doing like, maybe they're doing like a Clone Wars spinoff with just focusing on the clones. I'm thinking, oh, Netflix is going to have like 6 episodes of the clones talking and doing stuff during the Clone Wars. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. And then they show the video of the Republic cruisers and the Anakin Obi-Wan. You can tell that it's newer animation. You knew it wasn't as crisp as Rebels, but you knew that it was, you know, something that they were obviously putting a lot of energy and effort into. And I thought, oh, maybe we're going to get like a movie, because, you know, they started the Clone Wars with a movie. I mean, sort of, you know, and then they could bring it back. And I was like, wow, this is cool. And then it dims and it says Clone Wars saved. And I thought, oh my gosh, they're bringing it back. And I was sitting next to Mediocre Jedi, and we were just like we just won the lottery or something. And honestly, you know, that visceral reaction you described, that was maybe the most exciting Star Wars moment I've been a part of since we found out that Disney purchased Lucasfilm, was making a new trilogy. I mean, it was that exciting.
You know what I thought was cool about that too? And I want to give the people who cut that trailer together a lot of credit, because they did not have a lot to work with, honestly.
True. True.
They built something out of that fast and that well is definitely commendable. But they absolutely cheated using the music from the Star Wars Celebration Force Awakens trailer.
Oh, yeah. I know. Wasn't that brilliant?
That's what did it. Like, just that music alone by itself is so emotionally resonant. Not just as music, but so many people now have really strong emotions tied to that music because of Star Wars Celebration and that Force Awakens trailer premiering. When I realized what it was they were using as background music for this trailer, like, I couldn't help myself. Like, all the hairs standing up on end, you know, like if electricity could have started arcing between the follicles on my forearm, it would. And like, that was a genius decision. Like, you're bringing the Clone Wars back. Use that soundtrack fuel to just goose every last ounce of anticipation out of that footage. It was beautiful.
And honestly, when the one thing I forgot, like when they show Ahsoka and she looks at Anakin and speaks to him, I feel like that was the collective moment in that room where everyone got it.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone's like, okay, this is real. Like, Ashley Eckstein is here. Ahsoka is talking to Anakin. We haven't seen them talk since they left, since she walked in the Jedi Temple. And then, of course, when he's Vader later at the end of season two of Rebels, we knew there was an intermingling before then because of the E.K. Johnston novel Ahsoka, but we haven't seen it. And because Star Wars is such a visual medium, that felt like the vitamin B shot that we've been waiting for.
Well, and it also says something about Ahsoka's weight as a character, how much she means to so many people. Like, Ahsoka turning around is just, I mean, you're getting more Ahsoka. You're getting one of the best characters in Star Wars, period.
Not gravitas instantly.
Yeah, like not just Star Wars animation, not Star Wars for kids, or how whatever weird little category you want to put her into, like, she knocks the walls of those boxes down. Ahsoka is top tier Star Wars, period, point blank. And her turning around and you knowing that you've got at least 4 episodes with her,
gold.
Oh yeah, that's
gold, Jerry, as they would say. Yeah,
gold.
Banya. Was it Banya that said that? Yeah,
I believe it's Banya.
Good deal. Well, hey, let's take a quick break. That's a good place to stop. And when we come back, I will share my conversation with Amy. And then later at the end of the show, Bobby's going to share more of his thoughts on Clone Wars, including what he is most excited about for this revival and what the series means to him as a fan. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi. Oh, pass the cream, would you?
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn Alliances and Most Wanted to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Let's talk a little Patreon, and I want to thank our Patreon contributors like Ben Elkington, Rebecca Raven, Dennis Keithley, Terry Lee, Lieutenant Law, Aaron Harris, Chris Kavarka, Angela Sauce, Mediocre Jedi, Tim Bungaroth, Chris O'Hading, Chris Metz, LJ Souter, Thea Selby, Jeff Ellis, Daz Davies, Christian Dale, Jason Hall, Brian McKinney, Connie Shee, Mike Audette, Jared Cantor, BJ Smith, Eric Struthers, Nick Deco, and Mark Suter. Our Patreon page, one of the biggest things I found when I went to Comic-Con last week was people telling me how much they loved our CWK pour-over show, which is wonderful. And that is the exclusive show you can listen to if you contribute $5 or more a month. It's with myself, Corey Club, and Tom Gross. And we talk about Star Wars as well as different things we're interested in fandom. We talk about our personal lives a little bit, but as it fits into geekdom, of course, we're not going to bore you with doing laundry or something like that. But the last two shows have been really interesting because we've talked about comics and kind of the pros and cons of collecting. And, you know, we all have families and we're trying to kind of decide on budget. And
how much we want to spend and where do we want to go with our collection. Then we also talk about our pull list. So definitely be sure to check that out. And if you're a Patreon contributor, not only do you get access to CWK Pour Over, the exclusive show, but you have access to CWK Lens, where I give you behind the scenes of the show and different travel that we do for the show and things like that. There are also t-shirts and coffee mugs and lots of great opportunities. So be sure to go to patreon.com/coffeewithkenobi to find out more details. Can't wait to see you there. One Nation Coffee is the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. Four lifelong friends had this idea that has grown into some of the best coffee you're ever going to have. I personally guarantee that myself. And I also found out they just have a brand new light roast too. So go to www.onenationcoffee.com and put in Kenobi1 for the code and you'll get 10% off your first order. And also, by the way, they have a subscription service too. And it's very, very convenient. So again, www.onenationcoffee.com. We are back and we have Amy Ratcliffe with us. Of course, everyone knows she is an important member of the Coffee with Kenobi family, having so many things that you've done with the show. You've been on a bunch of times. Of course, you co-host Lattes with Leia and we're friends. So it's super cool to have you on again.
Oh, thank you for having me back. I think it's been a little while. I'm like kind of dazed that it's July.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. I think this has been a really weird month because a lot has happened. Of course, Comic-Con just got over and this was my first Comic-Con. And I got to say, I know I expected to be very overwhelmed and I guess I was and I wasn't. What was it like for you? Because this was your first time back in a while.
Yeah, actually, this kind of was a great way to do it. It's my first time back since 2015. And, you know, I work for Nerdist and normally I was there as a freelancer covering for a bunch of outlets and it was just having to run from panel room to press room to all over and it was stressful. But this year, I just did the panels I was committed to that I was on. And then I spent the rest of my time sitting in our production suite or in my hotel room editing. And I really had a good Comic-Con. I was like, oh, it makes a difference when you don't have to be 20 places in a day and stay up until 2 a.m. transcribing and writing stories.
I hear you. That's the way to go. I mean, this was my first time, of course, as I said, at the con. So going into the press room and where it was, because I don't know who told me, I think it was Brian Young or somebody told me, hey, go up in the press room and just kind of, you can get some work done. It's really, really quiet. And I was like, oh man, it was nice. But every 5 minutes, someone was worried about the Wi-Fi. So it was very, very interesting side of things. And the reason I bring this up is because you, as you mentioned, you were on some panels and you hosted a really important panel, which is, of course, is about the Clone Wars, which is, we have to talk about. I mean, how could you not? It's one of the biggest pieces of news to hit Star Wars since they probably announced Galaxy's Edge, I would say.
So, I think so. I mean, it was certainly the highlight of my convention.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, so tell me and tell our friends here, what is it like when you're preparing for a panel? What kind of legwork goes into something like that?
Well, and something specifically like this, that's, you know, very closely with Lucasfilm and they had a very specific message in mind. It was a lot of working with the publicist at Lucasfilm, Tracy Canobio, to make sure, you know, I want to make sure we hit all the points we want. And the biggest thing for me on this panel was making sure all the panelists had an opportunity to speak and trying to give everyone something to say, even though it is very easy with someone like Dave Filoni, who he's fantastic and has so much insight. Like, it's very easy to just be like, Dave, Clone Wars, go. And I think he could talk a whole hour without prompting. So it was a lot of, okay, like here are the slides I know I have. I'm writing them all down. So I have a rough idea of how much time we can try to spend on them. But then being flexible because things are going to go off the rails, not necessarily in a bad way, just not in a way you had anticipated. And you have to be kind of on your toes. And something I've learned as I've moderated and hosted is some conventions are getting better about having clocks on hand. So you don't have to like keep an eye out and for the person who flashes a 10-minute sign at you. But since they don't always have them, I started to just keep my phone on and run a stopwatch so I can moderate my own time. And that seems like the most obvious thing, but not something I've tried doing until maybe the past 2 years. And it makes such a difference to know, all right, this is where I am. This is what we still need to cover. Let's see if we can do this or at least try to do it.
No, that makes sense because I don't think a lot of people realize
what goes into something like that until you actually are in those shoes, because it, you know, timing is important. And as you said, making sure everyone gets a chance to speak. It's not unlike hosting a podcast, but of course this is on a much different scale, but you want to make sure that you keep things relevant for the person you're speaking with. You want to allow for improvisation if a conversation goes a certain way, because of course you want to feed that. And obviously you don't need me to tell you this, but you do a fantastic job. They couldn't have picked a better person.
That is very kind of you. Thank you. It is always nerve-wracking, and I'm always very, something I like about moderating and hosting too is panels. Like, the purpose, it's never about me talking. So I kind of like that mine is just to keep everybody on the tracks and talk as little as possible. But you know, yeah, you never want it to sound like, here's my scripted question and I'm going to ask the next one on my list, regardless of what you say. You have to be on your toes. And sometimes when you're nervous, it's easy to be like thinking about the next thing and zone out. And I've definitely done that before. And then it just leads to a lot of awkward sweating.
Well, you know, it's very organic. It's a very organic process. And speaking to someone who reads body language and every day has to get high school students to talk when they're very nervous, I feel like I can kind of read that. And I think you do a great job, honestly, because you keep the conversation moving. And it doesn't sound scripted. It sounds like it's something you're passionate about, because you obviously are. And so you love the Clone Wars anyway, and you're something of a Clone Wars historian. So your personal prep, did you have to rewatch any certain arcs, or what did you do for yourself just as a person, as a host, as a fan?
You know, that's, I don't know about historian, but Clone Wars is definitely like the corner of Star Wars I love the most. And what,
that's how you got into it, right?
Yeah, that's how I completely fell in love with Star Wars, was through that series. And I had somewhat recently done a rewatch because my fiance hadn't seen the series. This was before Celebration.
Oh, fun. I didn't know that he hadn't seen it. Oh,
cool. Yeah, so it was so cool to introduce him to it chronologically. And I always go back and rewatch some of my favorite arcs, like the Night Sisters and Mortis. Mortis, especially recently, a lot of the Maul stuff recently because of Solo. But for this panel, because of the show flow that Tracy kind of had in mind, they really wanted to get a bunch of rarely seen or never before seen sketches of Dave's in there. So once I saw those ahead of time, I was like, okay, well, I recognize this could have been from Dark Disciple, and a lot of it was from stuff we hadn't seen. So it was kind of cool to have that point of reference, and also to realize, like, well, I've watched these so many times because I know, I'm like, oh, that's from the episode. I mean, that's pretty easy one to identify, but when, you know, Ahsoka's on the run and getting ready to leave. So it was, a lot of it was in my head, fortunately, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, of course. You know, you've got, we have our own little database, because and you know this better than anybody, when you're writing about something and you're analyzing it or you're preparing it for a show, you're going to learn it more than most people, because there's just something about that process, that organic process of writing about a topic that you learn about. It's no different than teaching. When I teach certain books, like, people, sometimes I just have huge passages memorized, and I say to my students, look, I'm not any smarter than you. I just spent a lot of time with this stuff. And when you write about it, you learn about it in a very three-dimensional way.
Yeah, and it makes it stick in maybe a different way. That's kind of a good way that I learn, is really interacting with material. And if I'm just watching or reading that, it's going to slide through my brain. It's like a sieve. But if it's something I'm kind of studying, so to speak, or like you said, writing about, it has
it's active engagement versus passive engagement, where you're just watching something. So you're watching this, you know, they're going to show, what did you think they were going to show? Because you did not want to, you didn't expect, not want, you didn't know what they were going to show. You just knew it was going to be a sizzle reel. Is that right?
Yeah. I had been told it was going to be a sizzle reel, and I'm like, well, that's cool. Like, this is a great thank you for the fans. I thought it was great that they were even doing the panel. When I'd been asked about it, I wasn't sure if I was going to Comic-Con, and I got the wink, like, not the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but somebody at Lucasfilm was like, you just really want to do this panel. And I was like, okay, I will do this panel. I will, if nothing else, I will drive to Comic-Con and come back the same day if that's what it needs to be. And once I learned it was 10 years of Clone Wars, I'm like, oh, this is incredible. Like, I'm so just thrilled that Lucasfilm did that and showed the fans, like, yes, we hear you. We still love Clone Wars. We're going to kind of wrap you into this warm fuzzy force hug about this series. And I'm like, oh, a sizzle reel is going to be great. Like Kevin Yost is going to cut it together. It's going to be all kinds of, they didn't tell me that. I'm just assuming lots of, you know, good Kevin Kiner music. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be this great. So when it started playing, mm-hmm. I legit thought they just cut some, like, oh, they made some new material for this. That's so cool. Like, that was a lot of work that they probably, I mean, they didn't have to do that. And I don't know what it was like in the audience. Because I kind of, if I'm being honest, don't really remember a lot of the panel after the first trailer. But it didn't sink in until I saw the words, you know, over unfinished until now. And I just got goosebumps. But that's when I'm like, this is something. Wait, what? It's a lot of processing.
Well, no, when they show like the Clone Wars, how much you hear Rex, you know, talking, and then Dee Bradley Baker, of course, and you see the fire coming almost like dominoes, kind of a weird, kind of cool dominoes effect. And then they started showing footage, and I thought, I just intuitively knew, like, oh, this is new footage. Oh, cool. And I started to think, maybe this is just for this panel. And it's like a sort of a love letter. Thank you. And then I thought, wait a minute, all these clones, maybe they're going to do like a special little spinoff that's only about the clone troopers.
Me too.
Yeah, really?
See, I'm like, oh, this is going to be like a clone movie. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute, maybe they're going to show like, maybe it's going to be like a Clone Wars movie because they started with a movie. Maybe they're going to end with a movie. It'll be a proper goodbye. And then when they showed Ahsoka, like I have goosebumps saying this, I'm sure you do too. When they showed Ahsoka and she turned around, she said, hello, Anakin, or hello, Master, or whatever she said. I thought, oh my gosh. And then they...
Like it's back.
Yeah, and they put that in the yellow and the hashtag. And oh my gosh, like we were just screaming. And I mean, I did a video of the fan reaction because I was in there too. And my gosh, it was just unbelievable. I was sitting next to Mediocre Jedi and we were freaking out.
It seemed really deafening. And I think everyone was blown away. I loved going back. I watched a video after the end and like seeing Matt Lee, like Ashley was in tears. I had tissues on me because I knew the Jedi Order clip was in there when she leaves the Jedi Order. I knew that was going to make me cry because it always does. I'm like, well, I'll bring these tissues. And I'm glad I did because Ashley like lost it. And Matt Lanter his reaction was just adorable and priceless. And I can't believe like they did a really good job keeping that a secret from me. Like the night before,
it's amazing.
Like we're in the green room 45 minutes before the panel. What a day.
On our Twitter, on Coffee with Kenobi's Twitter feed, one of the pinned tweet is my video of the reaction. And I feel like when people watch this, if you haven't seen it yet, be sure to check it out, everybody. You can just feel it's so palpable and so electric when you're watching everybody react because everyone is so excited and so happy. And no one knew. And I was waiting for this thing with a bunch of other Star Wars podcasters and bloggers and some people who were typically seem to have more of an insider's point of view. And no one had any clue about this. I mean, not a single clue. And they surprised you too because you had no idea when you were standing up there as well. And actually, I don't know if it's Brian Sims, or I don't know, but somebody has a great shot of into what you tweeted of your reaction when you kind of realized it up there. You were standing next to Dave.
Yeah, someone, because you know, they played the trailer once and I didn't even remember what I said. I had to watch a video to see. And then Dave said, like, you know, let's play it again. And I turned to watch the screen on my right. The rest of them are watching the other one. And Dave came up and stood beside me, and then Ashley and someone in the audience got a photo of that, and they caught me after another panel I did, and was like, "Hey, like I got these photos. Can I send them to you?" And I was like, "Yes, these are like thank you because it's such a just captures like I just was overwhelmed and had that sense of like I cannot sob on this stage right now, but I can be excited and." I mean, I can feel all those things. I feel like if I would have sobbed, nobody would have cared. Everybody would have understood. But
we have all been related, yes, because we all empathized because we were just so blown away by the moment.
Yeah, like what an incredible surprise that was. Just I'll never forget that and I'm so glad to experience it with everybody in that room. Like what a gift.
I think that is what made it so incredibly special because you know you're seeing it for the first time. You know, no one has seen it before. And the people, a majority of the people who made
the Clone Wars and who are just so close to it and so invested, especially Ashley, you know, and Dave, they are getting to be rewarded instantaneously because they hear how much we love it and how excited we are. It was great.
It was great. And they had a few more people, at least in the crowd, that weren't on stage. Like, I believe Carrie Hart was in attendance and Carrie Beckett, just a lot of people. I'm like, I hope you like feel good because you've made something really special. And then, like, look how much people love it and respond to it.
Right. And in what we know so far is it's going to be 12 episodes and it's going to be on a Disney streaming service, which I think is brilliant from a marketing perspective because it's not like any of us needed incentive to subscribe to this because it's Disney and they make a lot of great stuff. But this is really great. So I want to transition a little bit because I know your coffee is running short and you've got other places to be. So we, again, are so happy to have you back on. You are on another panel. And one of the main reasons you're on one of these other panels is because there's this little book out there that there's some rumbling about called Star Wars, Women of the Galaxy, I'm used to saying co-host when I say Amy Radcliffe, but no, I say author, Star Wars author, Amy Radcliffe. How amazing does that sound?
It's still surreal. I still kind of don't fully believe there will be a book until it has arrived on my doorstep.
Well, you're even on Amazon, right? I mean, it's so cool, and it's just fun reading your bio and seeing your name. I can almost see you smiling every time I see your name on there because it's great. How did this book come to be?
You know, I got really fortunate, and the publisher at Chronicle Books, my editor there, Steve, reached out and said they were doing this project, and could I please submit samples? And immediately, like, there was a lot of, I'm like, is this email real? Is this a phishing trick? Is this an elaborate play for someone to get my bank account? Because that's my instinct. Like many people, I suffer from imposter syndrome. So if something like that comes along, it is surely a trick.
Sure.
But thankfully it wasn't. And I put some samples together as quickly as I could it kind of took a little bit to figure out what kind of tone we wanted to hit with the book and the profiles. And thankfully I got approved, and then it was just kind of a blur from there. But I think it's like, I'm so excited about the book for many reasons. I think people are going to lose their minds at all the art in it, because it's over 100 illustrations and it's just artists getting to work in their style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of variety. And it's one of my favorite parts was seeing characters, you know, we've either never seen illustrated because they're from, you know, books, or maybe they appeared in one comic. So never, or, you know, not often illustrated. And I hope it's something that fans of all levels will enjoy, but I especially hope like kids come to this and are like, who is this character? Well, she's in this book. I've never heard of this. I want to go like pick up something outside the films and just kind of see what a wide world, what a wide galaxy there is. Yes,
there you go. Well, when I get a copy, because I'll definitely get a copy sooner rather than later. And I'm excited because there's 75 characters in here. Is that right?
Yeah, 75 from films, comics, games, books, so all across the spectrum. And I think there's some pretty cool ladies in there.
And Oh my gosh.
And not just, I love that it's not only heroes, not only villains. It's, you know, characters from all walks, because everybody has a story and all those stories are important.
Exactly. And you, because of your love and passion for Star Wars, you've already got a lot of good background on these characters anyway, so you can introduce all these other people who only maybe, there are a lot of people, as you know, who only watch the movie. There's some that only watch the animated series or what have you, but now they're going to have exposure to a lot of them. And this book is going to be such a huge, you know, catalyst for that. I know I've already talked to my son who's 5. And when we get this book every night, we're going to go over one character and he's going to learn about one new character in the Star Wars galaxy for 75 days. And I think that's going to be really fun.
That's really cool and really sweet of you. Thank you.
Oh, gosh, of course. And I can say, hey, I know this author. He'll be so excited.
Oh,
I love
gosh.
It.
I'm so excited.
Well, Amy, as always, thank you so much again for being back on Coffee with Kenobi and sharing your experiences at Comic-Con with the Clone Wars and, of course, giving us a bit of a sneak preview about Star Wars: Women of the Galaxy. So obviously, once the book has come out and everyone has gotten a chance to look it over, we'd love to have you back on to talk about it.
I would love that too. Thank you for having me, and thank you for nerding out. I haven't got to talk about the Clone Wars stuff a lot yet, so still, it's good. This was good and cathartic, and I'm still just so excited.
Oh man, it's not going to go away. It's something you'll always have. And Star Wars is, of course, it's a lot of things, but one of the biggest things about Star Wars for me is the memories. And I remember where I was when I saw the movies or when I read certain books. I'm going to remember the Clone Wars because we were all in that room, and that's something that's going to be so special. So thank you for sharing your thoughts about it on the show.
Yeah, I'm never going to forget that.
And where can people find you if they want to say hello or ask you questions about your book or anything Clone Wars?
Oh my gosh, please find me. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Amy_Geek. And you can find my writing on Nerdist.com and occasionally on StarWars.com. And my book is out on October 30th.
We will go ahead and take a break. When we come back, Tom is going to bring us the latest Star Wars news, especially concerning what we found out from San Diego Comic-Con. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Greetings. This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio, featuring sound effects, top-notch narrators, and music directly from the movies. Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From Han Solo to C-3PO to Admiral Akbar, you'll recognize all of your favorite characters. Listen to movie tie-ins like The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens, to book titles such as Thrawn Alliances and Most Wanted, to classic audiobooks like William Shakespeare's Star Wars. With Star Wars audiobooks, you'll have plenty of Star Wars listening to keep you entertained. Visit PenguinRandomHouseAudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. So I'm back from Comic-Con, and there were a lot of things to juggle. I had to get things ready for the show. We had to make sure we had dinner reservations for certain places because my wife and I spent some time down there together before the show started and had to get everything organized, ready to roll. One of the things I didn't have to worry about was having a razor blade, because I subscribe to Harry's Razors. And what do I love about Harry's Razors? It's really, really easy. It's a close shave, it's smooth, it's comfortable, and when you subscribe, you get a lot of great things that go along with it, which I'll talk about here. You know, things like quality blades, and they stand by the quality of their blades, but they also know that switching razors isn't an easy decision, so they've created a trial offer. Claim yours by going to harrys.com/CWKFamily. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. They know a great shave comes down to great blades, made with sharp, durable steel that lasts. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. By selling directly to you over the internet, they can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more. And you've got yourself a quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days, and they'll give you a full refund. Now, I can't imagine you'll find yourself in that situation, but just knowing it's out there just shows that they are confident in what they have, and they're the company that you can trust. Now, let me give you some details about this offer I talked about at the beginning of this conversation. You'll get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, a weighted ergonomic handle, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich, lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover, which I certainly used when I went to Comic-Con. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/CWKFamily. Make sure you go to harrys.com/CWKFamily to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. Because this week was San Diego Comic-Con, or I guess last week more accurately, Tom and I have not gotten a chance to catch up. And I've talked quite a bit on the show already about my reactions to Clone Wars Saved, hashtag Clone Wars Saved, but I have not gotten a chance to talk to my good friend Tom about it. Tom, dude, Clone Wars is coming back.
So pumped. When I saw the news, I thought it was made up, or it didn't like strike me right away, because it just didn't seem like that was something that was going to happen. I was totally surprised and taken off guard by it. And so I saw your video from inside the convention center first, where it just shows Anakin and that's how I confirmed that this was an accurate piece. Yes. Cause I mean, you know, it was the clip where Anakin and Obi-Wan walk in Rex, yeah. what was so important. And then boom, Ahsoka. And just floored. I was trying to feel the energy of the convention center from through your video. And it was so cool. Goosebumps, the whole thing. And
I think it really came through because that video is the most seen video we've ever posted ever. And I think it's because people wanted you really can feel the energy and the electricity through that video. And you can, I mean, I was so excited. I was shaking the phone, but I tried to put myself reacting and I put Mediocre Jedi on there, and we were so fired up because my goodness, electric. So aren't you thrilled that, I mean, we're going to actually get the series finished. You know, there's so many stories out there that we knew existed and now we get to see them played out the way they're meant to. And Dave gets a chance to do that, which is really, really cool.
I think it is such a great move on the part of, you know, everyone at Lucasfilm and Disney to make this decision to do this, because Dave is a genius. and when I think personally, the Clone Wars, the animated series really brought those prequels to life for me. I've said this before on the show, some of my favorite Star Wars stories are inside those Clone Wars episodes. And so this is like such an opportunity. And for me as a fan, it's such an opportunity to maybe have more of those stories. And when I think about that, was it season 6 that was the partial where they cut it short?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of those were so heavy. With emotion, with story, that I'm just wondering, you know, is that going to be the tone of the final 12 episodes?
The Siege of Mandalore, and I did an article on IGN about what we can probably expect, and this is just kind of speculation based on what I've heard, mm-hmm. both behind the scenes and just at panels and things like that, but it's going to end probably when Order 66 starts, and it's the end of the war. So how could it not be intense?
Oh, you know? Man. Wow. That's incredible. And yeah, I am so very much excited about this news. I've never been a person who's wanted a war to go on, but in this case,
yeah, right?
let's keep the war going, man. Because the inspiring Star Wars stories are all there.
Getting more Ahsoka. We get more Ahsoka. I mean, in her prime.
That blows me away. That whole scene. And who is that she's standing there with? Is that
I haven't seen it since I was standing in the panel.
Oh, okay.
But I think it was Rex, wasn't it?
Well, she's Rex is there, but then she's standing with a Mandalorian individual. And
it's me. That's the big news. I'm a canonical character now. Isn't that exciting?
Oh man, yeah, talk about goosebumps, excited,
right?
The goosebumps are jumping off, man.
So what else did we learn about at Comic-Con? That was spread out. What a silly question. I was there. I know what happened, and most of you listening do too, but we're going to go over this with a bit more detail as we do on Coffee with Kenobi, and nobody brings the news like Tom. So Tom, let's do it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, unless you've been living under an asteroid, Comic-Con happened. So while a Star Wars film was not featured at the convention, Star Wars still held a strong presence. Lucasfilm hosted a mega author panel to feature upcoming books for the Star Wars universe. And while the books cater to all reading levels of fans, I will highlight a couple, or we'll talk about a couple that seem to define a focus of Star Wars this year, at least in print. First is E.K. Johnson, the author of Ahsoka, returns with a book titled Queen's Shadow. This story takes us to Padme Amidala's transition from Naboo Queen to Republic Senator. And according to Johnston, the story will explore how Padme navigates the treacherous waters of politics and, with her devoted handmaidens, forges a new identity. Then Claudia Gray, author of Lost Stars and Bloodline, totally pumped for this one, returns with a story that predates The Phantom Menace. In Star Wars, Master and Apprentice, Obi-Wan Kenobi joins his master, Qui-Gon Jinn, on a dangerous mission for the Jedi.
So I had heard the day before that there was going to be a big book announced that people were going to be very happy about. And it was, you know, E.K. Johnson is such an excellent writer. She wrote Ahsoka, which was a very well-received novel. Mm-hmm. And now she's going to tackle Padme. So you've got this, you've got Qui-Gon and the Obi-Wan novel. And then, of course, the huge announcement, Clone Wars saved. So much for the notion that people weren't as interested in Clone Wars stories or prequel era stories, because that's all the news, prequel era stuff. And people are just through the moon, just ecstatic beyond words. And I think it's great. I love Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, especially when they're together. And I think that's probably the thing I'm the most excited about. But that being said, if you're going to get more Padme, and Padme's a tricky character, let's be honest, because we like her. We like her a lot from the Clone Wars. And we know that the Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen, Padme and Anakin, while we appreciate the power and magnitude of their relationship, for some people it didn't work. And, you know, there were challenges there. So it's sort of hard to get that out of your mind. But when you do, and you just get in and sink into the character themselves, I mean, there seems to be a lot of excitement. When I was at Comic-Con, people seemed very, very excited about this news.
Well, that was going to be my first question, is what the response was, because I know on my side, first of all, I knew you'd be excited about Master and Apprentice, because I know how much you enjoy Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I look at both of these books, and especially the Padme, the Queen, the Queen Shadow. This is a transition that just sort of happened in a flash in the films and in the story. And so much had to have happened and gone on with her. And I think this is going to be – I sense that this is going to be a really important story to understanding Padme, the decisions and choices that she makes, and how she is superseded in power. I think it's also going to give us a glimpse into her, you know, doing what is right and having this galactic understanding. And so I'm really excited about that one. And, you know, as a librarian, E.K. Mm-hmm. Johnston and Claudia Gray, I mean, top of the line authors. And we know that from their past books, but it's so exciting that they are back for more. And I don't know anybody who doesn't want to know more about Qui-Gon Jinn. And especially this relationship that he had with Obi-Wan, you know, a little bit of that, you know, going against the grain, and what did Obi-Wan pick up, and why was Obi-Wan placed with Qui-Gon when he was kind of a go against the grain? So are we going to get background on Obi-Wan and maybe how this fit came together? I don't know. That's all speculation, but I'm so excited about both of these announcements.
Well, and the one with Master and Apprentice, that takes place before Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we may just get that information. Claudia Gray is one of my all-time favorite Star Wars authors anyway. So yeah, it's great. But that's not the only awesome news we had. There's quite a bit of movement in the world of comics. And there, I mean, talk about a lot of material. We're not necessarily getting, you know, like Poe Dameron, the series is ending.
Yes.
We don't really have right now a series that's stepping up and replacing it, but we've got something else that's going to fill in all kinds of gaps all over the place.
Right. And well, and when you talk about, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, what better place to make an announcement like this with comics, right? So new Marvel Star Wars titles announced this week at Comic-Con was a 30-part maxi series with Age of Republic written by Jody Hauser, Age of Rebellion by Greg Pak, and Age of Resistance by Tom Taylor. Now, according to Hauser, who is writing Age of Republic, it will be 4 months, 8 comics each month, highlighting a villain and a hero each month. So that sounds very exciting. And in a second here, I can tell you what those villains and heroes are for her title. But I also wanted to add into here so that we can talk a little bit about it is the IDW announcement, where they're bringing us a series that, in my opinion, looks like a lot of fun and maybe even a little bit of scary fun, with the title called Tales from Vader's Castle. The description from IDW describes this series as this: join a ragtag band of rebels in this weekly 5-issue miniseries filled with eerie adventures from across the Star Wars saga. Told in the shadow of Vader's castle, these spooky stories feature Hera, Kanan and Chopper, Han Solo and Chewbacca, the Ewoks, and of course, Darth Vader himself. Beware the tales from Vader's castle. Oh, that sounds like such a fun
read. I'll have to put a scary warning in the show notes the way you read that. So are these just like kind of mythological constructs, or are they supposed to be canonical storytelling?
The IDW stories, I believe, are stories just to be told, mythological.
Because I know that in the IDW, like usually the main story in those is usually canonical, but then all the other ones are just legends type of stuff. I believe that's right.
Mm. Okay.
So I guess that, I mean, I guess I could have asked when I was there, but I just didn't, I don't know. So I guess, I mean, it sounds fun, right? I mean, the art looks fun. And Kevin.
Oh, in the IDW series?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I've really enjoyed the IDW Star Wars line. You know, it's a different type of art. And not being an artist, I don't know what that style is called, but it's more comic-y. Is that how you describe it? And so I think they're fun stories to read. And so, and I love I just love the premise of these sort of scary genre of, a horror genre in the Star Wars storytelling, and of course bringing Vader into that storytelling, just that to me, that's a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, he's the ultimate scary. Really, I mean, I guess the Emperor might be as well. I mean, I guess you could speculate who's more scary, but I think from an intimidation factor, I mean, the Emperor's scary because he just secretes this menace and scariness, and you just kind of sense how awful he is and how dangerous he is. But Vader, you know, he's scary because of how he looks, right? It's not that he exudes some evil, but it's just that menacing mask is just a horrible, horrible, scary thing. And last year for Halloween, we had a great interview where we talked with a guy who makes horror movies. That's a friend of my brother-in-law, and his name was Mark. And he talked quite a bit about kind of the scariness, the scary factor, what it means to make something scary. And this looks like it'll be fun. To me, the best kind of scary stuff is fun also.
Yes.
So I think it's going to be really, really powerful, really fun. I think kids will love it. And I think it'll just be a fun little thing to do.
I agree. So we have the Maxi series, the Age of Republic, Age of Rebellion, Age of Resistance, the three big eras of Star Wars legend and lore. Let me give you an example of the Age of the Republic. Here are the characters that are going to be highlighted in Jody Hauser's books. So this is in release order from StarWars.com. Qui-Gon Jinn and Darth Maul will be our hero villain in the first month. And then, which, by the way, will be released in December of this year, 2018. So that'll be Qui-Gon and Darth Maul. Then next is Obi-Wan Kenobi and Jango Fett. Interesting combo there. And then third month will be Anakin Skywalker and Count Dooku. And then finally, Padme Amidala and General Grievous.
Which one sounds the coolest to you?
I like the way they're starting with Qui-Gon Jinn and Darth Maul. I just love Darth Maul's character. And so anytime you can give me more Darth Maul, like more cowbell, I love that. Yeah.
There's a lot of fun in comics with Kenobi, of course, is going to be covering this a lot more,
most definitely
a lot more detail too, that, because that's going to be fun to hear their take. But I'm excited. There's so much that came out. Typically over the years, Comic-Con has not been necessarily super Star Wars heavy, although for The Force Awakens, obviously they did some amazing stuff and Harrison Ford was there. You can't beat that. But typically it's about other things. And this very much felt like a Star Wars presence. So
It was great. It was great. Tom, anything else, or is that going to do it for this week?
No, I think that's going to do it for this week. We've got so much to talk about in weeks upcoming.
I agree. Well, hey, thank you so much, everybody. We will take a break. When we come back, I will share the second part of my conversation with Bobby Roberts. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee, tea, or me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's Coffee with Kenobi.
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Well, try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn Alliances and Most Wanted to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you will have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Doing Coffee with Kenobi requires drinking coffee, of course. Well, not really, but when I do drink coffee, which is in the morning and sometimes during the shows or even after a nice bowl of ice cream or something, that was very random, but you know what I mean. There are certain times where you want coffee. So One Nation Coffee is the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. I can personally guarantee that it's amazing. Even when I'm traveling, like I was at Comic-Con, I still miss it because it's the best coffee I've ever had and it smells amazing. And once you get it in the mail, because you'll set up for a subscription service to guarantee you never have to worry about going to the store to get coffee because we'll always be right there and you'll never run out, OneNationCoffee.com is the way to do that. So be sure to go to www.onenationcoffee.com to set up a coffee subscription and help your morning get started off the right way. Plus, you enter the code Kenobi10, you'll get 10% off your order. Not too shabby. Another thing that's been so valuable to me is my relationship with MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. They recommended these hotels for me in San Diego, and boy, were they amazing. The location was right near the con. It was very easy for me to walk across the street. I didn't have to worry about parking or anything like that or getting an Uber because it was all right there. And then they gave us the best places to go on the beaches. And San Diego has so many beautiful beaches. And the reason I know is because of Mouse Fan Travel. They have signature service and expert advice to help clients maximize their vacation time. But what they're most known for, because of course they can get you anywhere in the world because that's what they do and they're really good at it, they can help your family plan everything the Disney theme parks and the cruise lines have to offer. They plan every single detail. We're going on a Disney cruise in December, and it made everything so much easier because of Mouse Fan Travel. So be sure to go to mousefantravel.com today and let them know Coffee with Kenobi sent you. We are back in, Clone Wars through and through, baby, all the way here at Coffee with Kenobi. And Bobby, you and I have been talking about this both on and off the air, and this is a series that has meant a lot to a lot of people. Now, I remember when Clone Wars was originally canceled. I remember sending voicemails to different podcasts and just being so shocked because this was a show that me and my older boys watched together for 2 seasons because they were younger when it first came out. And it was like event television when it was on the Cartoon Network. And it was huge, especially the last couple of seasons, because I feel like they really upped the game of the quality of the narrative and the storytelling and the places that they went. And now we know it's coming back. And I'm so excited, as we've been talking about through the entire show. What has this show kind of meant to you as a Star Wars fan?
I came to it very late, mostly due to my own ignorance. I figured it wasn't for me. And I was like, I don't want to, hop on this Clone Wars train only to find out that it's not really geared towards me, and I don't want to be anyone's rain cloud, although I'm frequently that. But I was like, it's probably not for me, so maybe I'll just leave it alone, let people love it, and not get in the way. Just back up. Not everything that has the word Star and Wars on it is made for me, and I need to be cool with that.
Right.
But Brian Young and Amy Ratcliffe, being the people that they are, were very much like, no, you need to watch this. And eventually it became like a segment for Full of Sith. Like they assigned it to me as homework more.
I remember that very well.
They were like, you've got to catch up. You're late to the party. So you're getting assigned X, Y, and Z arc, and you have to have it watched by next episode. I basically got the binge experience. It's like you were there week to week, like old school classic television. And I was just pouring it into my eyes via Netflix whenever I could. And so for me, Clone Wars has almost always been more like Star Wars movies. like sure. really cool animated Star Wars films. And the quality varies from film to film, but that's how I think of them as movies. And I'm sort of surprised, honestly, that there isn't more of a little cottage industry of zealous fans who are essentially gluing the episodes together and presenting them as movies, like just taking the tops and tails off each individual episode, finding edit points, and then, you know, like they did with the actual Clone Wars movie.
Right.
Like they took three episodes and just sort of, we're going to take all the opening closing credits out of here, and they're just going to, there we go, that's a movie. And I'm sort of surprised that hasn't happened more often with Clone Wars arcs in general, but that's how I think of them in my head. So maybe that's why people aren't doing it, because everyone's already got them in their heads. They remember them as movies if they watch them on Netflix.
Well, and your recaps, I remember that so well, because one of the things I legitimately appreciated about your coming to the party when you did and you weighing in on certain arcs every week, what I liked is that you didn't instantly love everything, because I feel like that's more, I think that's more believable. And I think if you're going to be a critic or critical, which is a good thing, an analytical thing, and you're going to emphasize critical thinking and intellectual honesty, like that's more genuine. I think that's just more, I mean, you can like everything. Of course I don't. There's some things I like. I typically like it, but there's some things I love, some things I like, and some things I tolerate. Yeah. And I appreciate your honesty in that.
Well, yeah, I mean, no one bats a thousand. No one right. ever bats a thousand. You take enough swings at the plate. And God, how many swings were there in Clone Wars? Like over 100.
Yeah.
You take that many swings, there's going to be whiffs. But that's okay. So long as what you tried for was worthwhile, even if you didn't quite get there, like I can't be mad at that. And you know, some arcs absolutely were better than others. And I think what I ended up really appreciating was that the show grew as it went on, not just, as you said earlier, you know, via narrative, via technical skill, but the characters became very well-rounded in the way that only television can do, because movies simply just don't have the time. And so, like, I remember my biggest takeaways were, somewhere around season three, that show stopped being Obi-Wan and Anakin's and almost entirely became Ahsoka's. And then from season three to, you know, The Lost Missions, it became Ahsoka and Ventress's. And those two, more or less, for me, were the leads of Clone Wars. And that's when the show really came into its own. And that's when the show really started to take on that sort of mythic quality that I associate with Star Wars. And it was after season three, and when they started really paying serious attention to the character development of both Ahsoka and Asajj Ventress, that I started getting invested on a level that I normally get invested with Star Wars. And up until that, I was appreciating it for the storytelling and for the filmmaking. But when Dave and company, you know, Katie Lucas, Henry Gilroy, when they all started seriously zeroing in on what makes Ahsoka special and what makes Asajj Ventress a great character, that's when I started to perk up. And that's when I started appreciating the show on a level that I think you guys had already beaten me to. I was like, okay, I see why you guys are in there. I see why this is so important to Amy. I understand why Brian is reduced to tears. Well, Brian cries all the time anyway, but I understand why he's crying as much as he's crying when he watches these shows. And so that's Clone Wars to me. It's like a series of films that keep gradually getting better and better and better until it ended. And I thought the ending, honestly, of season five, even though I knew it was being cut short, I thought that ending was a great one.
It was nice. It was definitely more, you know, ethereal, really, at the ending. Because it really wasn't an exclamation point, more like a kind of an ellipsis, really.
It was very, I mean, it sort of reminded me of the ending to Angel, which was also cut short. And they scramble together. So, and Deadwood is another TV show that sort of, it got cut short, but you sort of get an ending. And that ending, even though it doesn't provide the dramatic punch you really wanted it to, thematically it does fit with what came before. And so, you know, Ahsoka walking off, while I knew that was being cut short, I was also like, this does work. This is a pretty good ending, not just for Ahsoka as a character, but also a pretty decent elegy for the Jedi Council and what they should have been and why they are a failure. And that being said, almost wordlessly, at the end of that episode, especially when you look back at what that Clone Wars movie was, to just sort of trace the arc from the beginning in 2008 and that ending with Ahsoka going down the steps, like that is a tremendous arc. You cannot take that away from anybody who's worked on that thing. Like that arc is amazing. You would not, if you had seen the baby Hutt burping and farting, and then told me at the end, I would get literal chills with Kevin Kiner's music rising as she goes down the steps. Come on, man. Come on.
You said, whoa, okay, something must have happened because you got
like it. Who came in and started working on this show? And it turns out nobody really came in and started working on the show. They just
went from scatological to psychological.
Scatological to psychological, the Clone Wars story.
That's right. I love it.
All you gotta do is now you just need to write up 15 pages of script, and then you have a YouTube video. Make sure that you're screaming in the thumbnail or you got your mouth wide open or something. I guarantee you that's at least 30,000 views on YouTube.
So there you go. This is the time, right?
What are you hoping for? What are you hoping for with the return?
When I saw it, one of the things I first felt was kind of like resolution in a way, because I want resolution. You knew there was more of the Clone Wars to be told, and you knew they were close to it. So in my fantasy world, I always thought it would be great to end with Order 66. And I actually did an article on IGN that came out a couple of days ago, sort of like what we might be able to expect from this series. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, of course, we'll probably see is the Siege of Mandalore. And we'll get to see more of that confrontation between Ahsoka and Maul.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that'll be huge. I want to see more of Anakin and Obi-Wan together. I just want to see resolution.
It's pretty possible that Order 66 is going to be in the end of Siege of Mandalore. Like, basically, you could, at the very end of the Siege of Mandalore, sort of adapt the first, chapter or two of the Ahsoka book.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm curious as to, I think the Siege of Mandalore is in. That's a given, I think. But I don't know if Order 66 is going to be in there. I also don't know if it's going to be a lot of Obi-Wan and Anakin.
I wonder that as well. Like, are they just literally going to take the stuff that we saw at Celebration Anaheim that was on StarWars.com for a while, which is basically just the animatics, I guess, and then just flesh them out. But I feel like there's going to be more. And I have a pretty good authority that if this goes well in the Disney streaming service, that Dave has built in a back doors for other stories to be told to add to it. So it's a possibility.
I don't want to get too far. I'm happy with the 12. I'm happy with the 12, and I'm happy with the 12 being the end for the Clone Wars. Cause I am still really, really interested in Resistance and seeing Mr. Filoni go back to his roots, as it were, with the sort of adventure focused, kid focused, 2D animation, Robotech inspired Resistance stories. I want to see him, after having this decade at Lucasfilm under his belt, take that knowledge, apply it to a different kind of Star Wars, and bring it back to where he came from. I want to see what happens there. So I don't want him to get too distracted with more Clone Wars stuff. I like the idea of it being 12 episodes. The Clone Wars is a wrap. I think it's kind of a tiny miracle that we're even getting that close.
It really is. And you wonder how long it's been in the works. Because remember towards the end of Rebels when he was sort of took a back seat and all the clickbait was like, oh no, he's leaving Luke, whatever they were saying.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is when he started working on this.
I would imagine that's what it is. I would imagine that's exactly what it is, which is, again, like I really feel like there's something to be said for not learning about how the movie industry works by watching empty-headed YouTubers yell at you for 20 minutes of video, because they don't actually know what they're talking about. And they don't know how movie studios work, much less how...
You might be onto something there.
I think I might be.
Yeah.
So a lot of the sky is falling stuff that you hear about, Marvel, Disney, Pixar, Lucasfilm, is rooted in no reality whatsoever. And that's why you end up with, these weird, Chicken Little scenarios when Dave Filoni steps back from Rebels and you're like, what's going to happen? Oh my goodness. Is he leaving? Is he upset? Who's he mad at? It's Kathleen Kennedy, isn't it? She's ruined everything. And it turns out, no, he stepped back because he's reviving Clone Wars for you. How about
which
that?
Is what people have been demanding. I mean, all people need to do is watch Entourage. They'll know how Hollywood works.
Okay. It's exactly how Hollywood works, bro.
That's
exactly
right. How it works. Come on, Turtle. Yeah, exactly. No, I think this is nothing but reason for excitement. And I do wonder how it's going to impact Resistance. And I'm pretty thrilled because, I mean, I don't think the Disney streaming service needs a huge Star Wars hook. I mean, they're going to have the live action show and, of course, the pantheon of all the Star Wars that's out there anyway. But I think this is just brilliant. You're gonna bring in people who may not necessarily have even bothered to subscribe because they've already got Netflix or they don't want ever. But people who love the Clone Wars, and there are quite a few of them, considering that had more tweets than anything at Comic-Con this year. I just think it's so smart.
Well, you're seeing them knowing their audience. For as much as there's been controversy and bad faith arguments on the part of really whiny, crappy fans who swear to God that nobody at Lucasfilm has their thumb on the pulse. Well, you're not supposed to have a thumb on a pulse. Thumb is bad. Have their fingers on the pulse of fandom.
That might have been a purposefully beautiful ironic statement that you made there.
But well, if these guys are taking the pulse, then yeah, they're all thumbs. But what you're seeing is that they know exactly what the fandom is up to, and they have been seeing a groundswell of positive feeling and pure love for prequel era stuff. And they see it coming. They see generations, multiple, of fan who came up on The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, who entered the fandom thanks to the Clone Wars. And they are like, oh, 10, 11, 12 years later, they're going to want another hit of that. And they're going to want to feel warm and cozy. And they're going to want to catch back up with these characters. And that is a brilliant move. I mean, not to look at it from a completely mercenary perspective, but man, 10 years later, you revive the Clone Wars and a bunch of people who 10 years ago, that was the first Star Wars they got into. The amount of love, the amount of goodwill that people are going to want to spend along with their hard-earned money on that streaming network. Again, that's a genius move. That's a smart move. And I'm happy as hell to see it. I really like Revenge of the Sith. Not the hugest fan of The Phantom Menace. I honestly think Attack of the Clones is a bad movie. That being said, seeing the love and the just the warm feelings in people's hearts for those films and that era, I can't not smile.
Right.
I love seeing that excitement, that enthusiasm. Like, I'm not going to go rush, into my garage and whip out the episode 2 Blu-ray anytime soon. But if like Dexter Jetster shows up in an episode of television, you better believe I'm going to be happy as hell about that.
Wouldn't that be cool? The connectivity. I think Clone Wars is the thing I think that gave Star Wars an expansive canvas because it really did show there's so much more out there, and it felt organic. And I truly believe that the reason I like Anakin, or the reason I think so highly of prequel Obi-Wan, is because of this series, not because of episodes 1, 2, or 3.
Mm-hmm. No, the series did so much to make Anakin and Padme both much more fully fleshed out, fully fledged characters.
Yes.
And the opportunity for that to get revisited. God, I hope there's some Padme in these 12 episodes, by the way. I really do. Any excuse to give that character more life, more breath, more words, I will take gladly, gleefully. And I'd also like to see some Jar Jar too. Especially.
Yeah, that would be fun. I mean, and we've got all these novels that are prequel novels that are coming. Suddenly, we got nothing really from Disney or of prequels besides a smattering of little things. And now we're just like overwhelmed with it. And I think it's wonderful.
I think it's great. Like I can not like the movies all that much and still be super excited and super welcoming of those characters in new stories. I want to see those things. And if I, a crusty old hobbit from the Wild West days of the internet, can have those warm feelings in my heart for that stuff, you got to imagine the kids that grew up on this stuff back in 2008 are out of their mind. And Lucasfilm would have to be, there's no way they're missing that opportunity. There is no way. And we're all the better for it. That's what I think.
I agree. And honestly, like, we are better as fans for you being our favorite little rain cloud, because you always bring in, man. I love talking to you anyway, just as a friend and hearing your perspective. So thank you, of course, as always, for being back on Coffee with Kenobi.
Oh, anytime, man. Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. And where can people reach out and exchange witticisms with you?
Oh, I'm pretty easy to find. If you actually, if you want, slide into my DMs. I don't actually tweet at all anymore, but because I work in a newspaper, you know, I'm one of the elite. That's a joke, because if you knew what anyone in a newspaper made, you would be super happy that you have any other job. We don't get jack. Anyway, I have to keep using Twitter because I work in a newspaper, so I have to monitor the news feeds. But I don't tweet. But my DMs are open, and I am at Bobby Roberts PDX. If you want to have a conversation, you want to talk to me, you want to yell at me even, you can hit me up. I mean, I'll probably block you if you're yelling at me. It's easy that way. But if you still at least want to take a run, at Bobby Roberts PDX on Twitter is probably the fastest way to get a hold of me. And if you want to read some of my writings, just go to the Portland Mercury. That's the newspaper I was just talking about. And they actually, they pay me okay for what they can pay me. I love working at the Mercury. That's at portlandmercury.com. I've got some movie reviews up actually recently. I've been getting back into that. If you would like to listen to a podcast that I produce, that podcast is called 80s All Over. And you can listen to that at 80sallover.com. That's where Drew McQueenie and Scott Weinberg review every major release of the 1980s 1 month at a time in order. So it's sort of like those old Leonard Maltin guides.
Yeah.
Like 1 month at a time with two old school film reviewers going back and forth. And I produce that. I don't talk on it. So, that's definitely going to be a plus for some of the listeners.
That's cool. And I've said this before, and I've said these to you out there as well, but your music specials, especially that one you did on The Last Jedi.
Oh yeah.
Dude, and I'm serious. Like, I'm an academic. I have three college degrees. I love learning. That was a master class in film score, in mythology. I mean, seriously, thank you for doing that. That thing was great.
I thank you for saying that. I really, really, really appreciate it. And instead of doing that thing where I try to deflect or deny your compliment, I will humbly accept it. But I will also say, if you really like music discussion, you need to listen to The Soundtrack Show with David W. Collins on the How Stuff Works.
Thank you, Bobby. We'll go ahead and take our last break and come back and finish out the show. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsor, Penguin Random House Audio, One Nation Coffee, Harry's Razors, and Mouse Fan Travel. Please support them the way they support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archive shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spreaker, Overcast, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, or our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Also, be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Please leave a review for each of their shows as well, and be sure to subscribe to each of them individually, as they all have their own feeds now. A big thank you to Bobby Roberts and Amy Radcliffe for joining me today. It's been a great time discussing San Diego Comic-Con with you, and we really only scratched the surface. In future shows, I'm going to give you more behind the scenes of the coverage and different opportunities I had, conversations I had with some awesome people out there. And Deanna Zare, my wife, is going to join us and talk about her experiences looking at Comic-Con as an outsider and just talking about San Diego overall. We really like the travel aspect of things, of course, here at Coffee with Kenobi. We want to talk to you a little bit more about that, help give you some tips and things like that. I think it's going to be really cool and a nice little addition to our show. So on behalf of everybody here at Coffee with Kenobi, thank you so much for joining us. We will be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars talk. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here.